We already shared with you some of the stuff that in some of the other football teams that God is doing. There's just fresh stuff. That's what I love when you're in a season of God just stirring. We went through a season. It was dark years for me. Now, you might have had a great experience with the Lord during then, but there was all these, like, Pensacola revival in the late 90s and the Smithton and Boston, and God was just, it was all these little regional places where God was just stirring and changing things, and new music was coming out, and it just pulled our hearts, and we just launched into this season with God where it was just fresh and new, and people were growing and getting saved. And then, like 2002... to about 2008. I don't know if you remember any of that, Jim. It just was like a desert. There was no new worship music. God just, it didn't seem like, you had your occasional little flicker here and there, but it just was, it would just felt like you're walking through. Anyone ever been in a slough or a pond or a quicksand, which I'm sure is common everywhere? You know, you just like, or snow. We don't want to say the S word. You know, or you just kind of trudge, and that's what those years felt like. And then I felt like at the end of the 2000s, God kind of, and there's just kind of been some back and forth and tug, but in this last, since 2023, and just on this ever increasing, God's just stirring, doing more and more and more and more and more. So we're just hearing stories all the time. You tell someone that God's doing something here, and they usually have two stories about God's doing something over there. And I love that, and we want to be excited about that. So this series is called Lean In. It's like, lean into that. Like turn to your neighbor and say, get with it, man. That's kind of what this series is. Is like, don't let this pass you by. Like, don't just be like a bystander, being like, oh, that's cool. No, like, lean in. How can I, like, we should be asking the question, how can I be a part of it? I don't have the answers for that, but I know we want to have that attitude. So one of the ways, and we've read a bunch of this, I've been giving you quotes ad nauseum, more than you can handle. Dump trucks full of quotes from revival, books on revival, and from quotes from revivals or people that were writing about revivals. And so one of the ways that you stir the fire and the hunger of God in people is telling stories about what God's doing or what God has done. So we've done that. We've done that for the last number of weeks. We've talked about what does it look like when revival shows up. And it's different every time, but there's some common things. And so that we went through this whole list the last 3 weeks. You know, there's a increased awareness of God. There's often an increased awareness of our sin and repentance and confession. There's freedom. There's like all these things that we had on this list. And today is going to be a little more action-oriented. Oh, so one of the ways that we can participate is by just talking about what God's doing. That builds your faith. Amen? Is anyone, you don't have to raise your hands high, but have you been encouraged at all in the last 4 weeks by anything you've heard at any time? Like it's just, ooh, yeah, I like that. And so we share all these stories with the hopes of some of the revival people from 1800, from 1700 said, we share these stories to stir your faith to know that what happened there can happen here. Not that we're trying to duplicate something. We just want God to show up. Amen? We just want God to show up. Yes, that's our goal. And so we know God is stirring all over the place, and we want to be a part of that. And so so the number one question is, okay, cool. Is there anything that I should do about that? Is there anything I can do to help me participate in that at all? And so the answer is yes, this is what you should do. And so we started out some John Tyson quotes. Kind of, you should be aware of it. That was his first thing, is what, like, how do we participate then? And John Tyson, a guy who has studied a lot about revival, he's a pastor in New York, so we've got more John Tyson quotes today. So he started out by saying, man, first of all, you just need to be aware of what's going on. What is God doing? What is God doing? And so we did that, and today we're going to shift gears a little bit and find out what else can we do? What else? Look at your neighbor and say, what else? What else can we do? I don't know. So John Tyson, we're starting with a John Tyson quote this morning, and he's talking about what we would call the normative Christ-like experience, the normative functional Christian living. So he starts out saying, that's good. That's really good. Like, we're not downplaying that at all. We're not saying, well, this is garbage. We just need to chase after revival. He's saying, no, we're not saying that at all. That's what this clip means, this quote. He said, this is talking about just like regular church. He said, there's something beautiful and edifying when you preach God's word, when you gather to have your heart reordered through worship, when you receive communion, which we did today, and you remember Christ in the middle of a world that's forgotten Christ, when you're in a room with people that you wouldn't choose to be with apart from Jesus, that's beautiful. He says this paragraph, however, I would say to everybody, when the wind is blowing, set your sails. When God begins to move, it's time to lean in. Look at your other neighbor and say, lean in. Say it like just ominously, lean in. However, I would say to everybody, so what he's saying is normal church is beautiful. It's a 2,000-year experience of incredible foundational God things. And we experience the life of Christ every time we're gathered together, every time we preach the cross, every time we take communion, every time we worship together. Those are beautiful things. But John's also saying, and he's been a pastor for well over 20 years. He's like, I do this stuff every week. He's like, I'm a pastor. This is beautiful. We've seen amazing things through church. But he said, however, if God's doing something extra, if God's doing something special, if God's doing something more, lean in. Find out what he's doing. Lean in. And I love what he said. He said, set your sails. Set your sails. This quote is from the late 1800s. It's from C. Campbell Morgan. He was a revival preacher. He said, we can't organize revival, but we can set our sails to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon his people once again. I love that quote. Let me read that again. Just let that just settle in your spirit. Don't let it just be another slide. Just listen to these words. We can't organize revival. We can't make it happen. But we can set our sails to catch the wind from heaven when God chooses to blow upon his people once again. And in 2023 and 24 and 25, and we pray into 26 and 7 and on, that God is blowing and breathing upon his people in a special way. There's just this increase of what God's doing. So we want to set your sails. Say, set your sails. All right. I'm having you guys repeat a lot of things today because all you have on your mind is Filipino food. So I'm just keeping you right here. Give me your attention, right? When I was about 12 years old, my pastor's name was Rob Storer, and he was a pastor of the Assembly of God Church in Webster, South Dakota. And we had Royal Rangers group, and he took a bunch of us rascally kids, and I was probably 10 to 12, somewhere in that range. And we went out on the ocean, or Picker Lake, whichever one. You know, it felt like... Well, no, we camped on Picker Lake in January or February. Yeah, we did that as well, with tents, with no heaters. Yeah, that was cold. Yep. But this was a summertime excursion, so we've been on Picker Lake a couple times with Pastor Rob, because he was just that kind of guy. And this time we were in a sailboat, and we went out into the middle of the lake on a sailboat, bunch of doofhead kids that didn't know nothing, and Rob, and. So we're like, oh, wow, okay, what do we do now? Because it's kind of scary. And when you're younger, that sail, mine feels like it's 200 feet tall. I mean, it's massive. This thing is huge. And so we're doing our Royal Ranger training, you know, and getting our badge or whatever. And so we had to do some stuff. And so all of a sudden, now if you're from the Philippines, you're a little more used to water. We don't have as much water here. we don't grow up around water, unless you grow up around water. But you know what I mean, a lake. So we didn't know what was coming next. We just knew that we had to do this stuff to get our deal or whatever. And so he's teaching us how to set our sails and whatever, and actually set the sails to catch the wind. But we stopped in the middle of the lake, and he's like, all right, everybody off. Okay. And then he leaned and grabbed the mast, I don't know, pole, stick that the sail is on, and leaned over and tipped the whole boat over. And this sail that felt like it was as big as this room went under the water, and slowly, and then the big fin came up. So all of us boys were all hanging on to that great big fin, and Rob treads water, and he gets back. He's like, all right, tip it back up. I'm like, huh? Like, tip it back up. Figure it out. Okay, so we're all grabbing on this fin and leaning backwards, and you're trying to move that whole sail through the water. And then once it got to the edge, then it started coming, but you had to just keep hanging on, and then you're in the water and drowning and whatever. We had to tip this sailboat up because upside down, it's still floated, but it really is pointless for catching the wind. And a lot of times us in church, we're still floating, right? We're above water. We're good. But your sail is useless. Everyone in the church is like, I think I get what he's saying. You got to write that thing up. Not write, but write. You know, tip that thing back up. And then get your sail set. Because you can't just have the sail up or just flop it. You got to set it. And then you got to position it to catch the wind. And this might just sound like theory, but you can indeed set the sail of your lives to catch what God's doing. It happened to Jesus all the time. Jesus ran into people all the time that saw God do something, and they just set their sails. And they didn't know exactly what, because it was brand new. Jesus had never done stuff like that before. He was just showing up, and they set their sails, and they just came to Jesus. And they're like, oh, I want to see that. So they just, this hunger, this expectancy, this what I want to know, they set their sails to catch whatever it was that this rabbi was doing. They wanted to be a part of that. And that's what I'm saying for this series is, let's find out what God's doing and set our sails. We can't choose when God does something. I will say we can have an influence on it though. And but when he does do it, we can set our sails. So how do we set our sails? What's one of the things? What's our new action step for this service today? This is from a book called Revival Praying. He says, J. Edward Orr studied the history of revival movements around the world. He said that each move of God was distinct. Some were characterized by great preaching, so others were characterized by great singing, but all of them, how many of them? All of them were marked by one thing: extraordinary prayers. Extraordinary prayers. So that's what the rest of this is on today. If you listen fast, I'll try to preach fast, and then we can eat quick. But he says there's one common thread that is distinct, and that's these extraordinary prayers. A guy by the name of Dave Clayton, in his book, he said, you'd be hard-pressed to find any significant movement of God across human history that was not first preceded by a group of faithful men and women who were committed to the Lord in prayer and fasting. He's like, they all might look different, but one thing that's for sure, if God's moving, someone's praying. If God's moving, that means someone's praying. Somewhere, somehow. I just believe with all of my heart, and so do all of these preachers all the way back, that just believe that if God's doing something incredible, it's because somewhere, someone's praying. Somewhere, someone is praying. Scott Pauley again, he says, a firsthand observer of the Welsh revival, one of the greatest revivals in recorded history, said that one mark of the revival in those churches was that they returned to the prayers. When God showed up, they returned to praying. People stopped going through the mere formality of religion. They discarded their polished, professional prayers, and they got serious with God. So that's one way, that's the way that we're going to talk about today. That's one way that we can lean in. One way that you can lean in, and I'm just going to be very transparent about my goal this morning. I have one goal this morning. I have one, like, besides getting to the food, I have one goal. I have one goal, and that is to elicit a bump from every single one of you. What kind of bump? A bump in your prayer life. That's my clear stated goal, is every word that comes out of my mouth today has one intention, is that somehow, in some way, by some story or some illustration or some quote or some goofy thing that I do, that you are encouraged to bump up your praying this week, this month, this year. Amen? So at least we're transparent. You can resist me with all that you want. That's fine. It's not fine. Don't do that. But I want you to know that, I want us to be on the same page, that my goal this morning is that you walk out of here and be like, okay, I can do that. That we're going to eliminate some excuses, that we're going to clarify some things and help us to see, man, I need to do this. All right, next slide. Elmer Towns, we quoted him a lot. He says, when news of the Welsh revival, this is what I was talking about. Listen to this quote and talk. And when I said that we can have an influence on the Lord. When the news of the Welsh revival of the early 19th century reached India, Many Christian missionaries did what? They began praying for a similar outpouring on their own field of service. As a result of them starting praying, a significant revival broke out in the Khasi Hills, which eventually brought an end to paganism in that region. They heard about God doing something in Wales. They were in India, and they're like, oh, Lord, we've heard of what you're doing. We heard of you, right? It's what we're doing. We're leaning in. They leaned in. They're like, come on, India. We want to see this in our field. We want to see this with our people. Like, we're doing this stuff. We're going to be here. We're not leaving. We're going to show up tomorrow, and we're still going to do exactly what we did before. But, if there's a chance that, God, your winds can blow across this land, we're praying, God, for that to happen. God, if there's a chance that what you're doing over there, you can do over here, count me in. God, if there's a chance, if there's even a sliver of hope that what you're doing in Wales, you can do in India, God, I want to be a part of it. And God, this morning, if there's even a chance of what you're doing at Ohio State, of what you're doing at Notre Dame, of what you're doing at Tennessee, of what you're doing at all these colleges, of what you're doing in these churches, if there's any hope of that happening in Sisseton, sign me up. God, I want to be a part of it. God, we're praying for you to do that. You see what I mean? They hear of what that stirs their faith, and then it stirs them not just to have faith, not just to be like, I believe for that. It stirs them to prayer. Stirs them to petition the Lord. God, if you can do it there, you can do it here. He says, Elmer says, many in the community believed that the outpouring that they were experiencing was a result of increased prayer. This is in Hernhut over the summer. Out of that conviction, 24 men and 24 women covenanted together to pray continually on August 26th of 1727. They drew lots and began praying around the clock, each couple praying for an hour. Others joined in, swelling the ranks of intercessors to 77. Among the children, a similar emphasis on prayer was begun. The prayer meeting begun on August 27th, 1727, outlived many of the people who began it. A century later, 100 years later, one could still find people praying in Hernhut at any hour of the day or night. I believe it was the start of one of the greatest moves of God. Missionaries poured out of that movement. Over 100 years they prayed. And God did incredible thing after incredible thing after incredible thing. This one says, the beginnings of the evangelical revival. This was in 1739. This is the Moravians who... This phenomenal. If you study this at all, man, this like they changed the world. Not their nation. They changed the world. This group of people changed the world. In the beginnings of the evangelical revival, as this awakening was called in England, are usually traced to a Moravian watch night service at Fetter Lane on December 31st, 1739, about 3 o'clock in the morning. The 60 young men who had gathered to pray experienced what George Whitfield later described as a Pentecostal season. The Fetter Lane outpouring overwhelmed those who experienced. They left the chapel that morning, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to change the world as they knew it. They would go out, people would just leave their lives and just go out on boats. They didn't even know where they were going. They would just get on a boat. This is in 1739. They didn't exactly have cell phones to call home in case it didn't work out. They just abandoned their lives to Christ, and they went across the globe, taking the gospel with them. People would get saved everywhere they went. People just, because they prayed. Praise God. I can tell by your excitement that you think this is a good thing. I know you're just letting it soak in. Here's what Scott Pauley says, just kind of about prayer. He says, as we pray for others, listen to how he describes this. God's conscious presence is nearer, and eternity becomes clearer. This is as we're praying. The Holy Spirit begins to show us specific things for which we should be praying. Anyone ever, maybe you don't have to raise your hands if you don't want, but has anyone ever been praying and you weren't sure you're praying for someone or for a thing or praying for our church or for your family, and you're just praying and all of a sudden you just start praying for something. You're like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. But it just kind of comes out of your mouth, or you just all of a sudden, that's the Holy Spirit joining with you going, all right, you're on the track. Now let me help you pray. Jesus said that he would send a helper and he's going to help us pray. Through intercession, he says, we begin to know the heart of Christ for people. And we get heaven's perspective on the world around us. Prayer is the greatest work because as we pray, God works in us and God works in others. There's no limitation on the ministry of prayer. Colossians says this. Let's have some Bible Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 2, says this: devote. Say devote. 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 This was in my newsletter this week, this month. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God might open a door for the message. This is Paul writing this. Paul, who's going over, you know, right? He's confident. Like, he wrote most of the New Testament. Like, Paul knows what he's doing, right? He's good. But he's like, you know what I need? I need your prayers. Wait, this is Paul. This isn't some guy who's hoping he can get it together. This is Paul. He's writing scripture, right? He's writing the Bible that we read today. And he's saying, you know what I need? I need your prayers. Pray that I might proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I'm in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you might know how to answer everyone. Be salty prayers. Salty people, full of prayer. Vibrant and alive in Christ, full of prayers. Prayer is important. Prayer is good. Prayer moves the heart of God. Why don't we pray then? Not saying you don't pray, but what's keeping you from bumping that up? If you pray like maybe once a month, what's keeping you from praying twice a month? If you pray every day for like 4 minutes, what's keeping you from bumping that up to 8 minutes? What's holding us back in from praying? Why do we not pray like we should? Maybe you do pray like you should. Fantastic. I would guess that most of us don't. Why is that? Why do we not pray as we should? Number one, there's going to be a bunch of things here. Number one, we question, and maybe you feel this one in your bones. Does it really work? Is it really effective? If I pray, is something really going to change? And I'm just going to be honest. We put that one first because it's important, right? If I spent, if I knew for sure that some... Here's what I want to say. Some of us believe in superstition more than we even believe in prayer. There's the God that created the universe, and we wonder if it's going to work, but if we see a falling star, we'll make a wish. Or if you've got a chicken bone, it's called the wish bone. You hang on to that after you dry it out, and we'll make a wish and see if you get the end with the little thing on it, right? Busting bones in our house to see if something can come true, right? But we won't pray to the God of heaven because we're not sure if that works. You with me? We believe in our superstitions, which are mostly garbage, but the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who formed us and everything around us, the one who upholds all things by the word of his power, we're like, I don't know if I talk to him if anything will actually happen. So that's a stumbling block for us. The Bible says that the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous man, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Or it availeth much, if you're more King Jamesy. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. It really does work. Sometimes it's just not important to us. It's not a priority. I feel like I'm probably doing just fine. I'm glad that those church people pray. And I'll let you know if I'm in trouble, you know, if I get a bad report from the doctor or if I just, you know, I'm failing one of my tests at school or something. I'll let you know, and then you can pray for me. But otherwise, I'm good. I do the church thing once in a while, about every 6 weeks. You know, I'll show up and give you guys the pleasure of seeing me in church. And other than that, I'm pretty good. I'll read my Bible. I listen to Chip Ingram once in a while on the radio. Jesus loves me this way. Right? You're just, it's not that important. It's not a priority. And so God wants to just do what God does, and he wants to reorder our priorities. Kingdom first. Kingdom first. And the kingdom of God, consequently, moves by prayer. It works by prayer. The kingdom of God, there's all kinds of ways that it functions, but it moves by prayer. What else? Why else don't you pray? Because you got lack of focus brain. Anyone ever been praying and you're about 7 seconds in and you're thinking about six other things? Some of you guys just need to get it together. Most of that is not your fault. Most of that is because of this rotten thing. Any teachers in the house? How long is our students' attention span these days? Yeah, it's not much. Just imagine, because they say the average, I think, is 8 seconds. Imagine who's on that scale, because some kids might have 14. So imagine all the zeros that we have to make, right? And I'm not just being funny. Like, this is legit. And your brain, technology, rewires your brain. You guys are a bunch of dopamine addicts. And I mean that with all my heart. And so am I. Our bodies have been chemically and neurologically rewired to crave dopamine every couple seconds. And so you'll be doing something. We watched a movie the other night. Look around the room. Everyone's on their phone. Why? Because the movie's too slow. Your brain has been rewired. There's a lot of things we can do, but this is not what the message is about this morning. But you've got to combat that as you go to prayer. Some of you guys, you've got 12 seconds of prayer in because you just can't get it, right? Like, get a tablet, like a pad and pen, and write down stuff so you don't forget it, so that you can just keep coming back. Keep your mind focused on Jesus. So we're not giving all the tools. We're just giving some reasons today. You don't have the focus that you need. Some of us, just being honest, you just don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. Just one great, there's a bunch of prayers in the Bible, and I wish I had a tool to give you, because we've got a tool that we're working on, some cards that are just phenomenal that would help you pray. We just don't have them yet. We're trying to figure out how to get them printed and stuff. Anyways, so hopefully someday I can hand you a tool that has been super helpful for me in praying. It has some of the prayers in the Bible, some ways to meditate, and some thoughts, some kinds of prayers and stuff. But sometimes we just don't know how. We don't know. I don't know what to do. I said, God, good morning. I love you. How are you today? And I don't know. That's all I got. So we need to Google it, get some videos, talk to me. Like, let's figure something out. Get some books. Like, find some prayers in the Bible. But sometimes we just don't pray because we just don't know how else to pray. Here's one. The first one is like, does it really work? Is that more of like? That's more like. On God's end, this one's more on my end. Does he really? He answers Dave's prayers, but not me, right? And a lot of us, I don't think God hears my prayers. You know, for sure, Irv's prayers, God hears those, but he doesn't hear mine. God wouldn't listen to me. And I would just say, that's not true. That's not true. He inclines his heart to those who seek him, right? God does hear you. So we have this doubt that. Yeah, maybe I believe it's effective, but it's just not effective for me. God doesn't hear me. Some of us, only got two more. We want to pray. I believe it works. I want to pray. Gosh. Yeah. We see that by the smiles on your face. Anyone ever say this? Gosh, I really meant to really get into prayer this week. I was really going to do it this time. I was really going to read my Bible this week. I had it all set out, had it all laid out. Yeah, that's about most of us. Right? But sometimes sometimes our discipline and the Holy Spirit's nudging have to coincide. And sometimes we're just not disciplined enough. Stayed up too late. We didn't set our alarm to pray. We didn't take time. We just got busy. Weren't disciplined. And the last one, we don't realize how important prayer is to God. We don't realize how important God thinks prayer is. Look at this verse. Matthew 9:37-38. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. Hold on, stop there. Look at me. What is the harvest? And we're using church words here because it's in the Bible. What is the harvest? It's people. The harvest is people. And let's see. Alan's not in here. Well, you guys are farmers. Like, the harvest was ripe, right? And what needed to happen? Like, corn came out of the field, I don't know, beans came out of the field. And if you're like, yay, it's ripe, that's so good. And you just went home and you had supper and you're just like, honey, it's so ripe. That's awesome. Yay, us. And you just went to bed just feeling happy. Not going to do much, is it? You got to get the harvest in. And Jesus is saying that there is an abundant bunch of people whose hearts want to come to the Lord. So what do we do about that? There's one thing he told us to do about it. Ask. 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 Now, other places in the scripture, we're to share our faith, right? We're to be a part of the harvesters. But in this verse, he's saying, ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send workers. Pray. There's this massive bunch of people that are ready to come to Christ, and Jesus is saying, pray that the Lord would send workers out. Pray that the Lord of the harvest would send the workers out there. John Tyson, we're going to kind of wind this up. John, this is the rest of that quote. He said, okay, how do we do that practically? He said, here's a couple practical thoughts. Change the categories of your prayers a little bit. He's saying, how do we lean in is the question he's answering in this podcast this summer that I took this from. He's saying, change the categories of your prayers a little bit. Elevate your prayers a little more out of the daily bread prayers to the kingdom come prayers. He's saying, take your prayers from a little bit more from, God, help me pay my light bill. Lord, help me to get an A on my test. Help me to not punch my neighbor in the nose, right? Like more like help me today. Like go from those are good things. Elevate them to, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what does that mean? It means we've got addicts that need to be free. We've got people that are bound up with unforgiveness that need hope. We've got people that are in demonic situations that need the power of Christ to set them free. Darkness be broken. And Jesus, like, kingdom come. John's just saying, if you want to lean in, one of the ways to do that, elevate your prayers. Take them from, don't just pray more, but pray different kinds of things. Don't just pray, God help my dad feel better. He had a rough day. Like, that's good. I'm not making fun of that. But he's like, do those, but then elevate. And he's like, let the people around me sense the presence of God as I walk through the city. Let the atmospheres change in the buildings where Christians are gathered. Let there be a hunger for them. You know, he's saying, just lift it up. Bump it up. John Tyson says, just pray for, he's just continuing that thought. He said, just pray for 15 minutes. Lord, would you meet my church? John's giving us practical prayers here. Would you meet my church? Lord, would you bring times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord to our congregation? He said, pray, Lord, open our responsiveness. When God does show up, help me to be responsive to that. If you've got prodigals, if you've got children that aren't walking with the Lord, just pray, Lord, would you bring them to their senses? Bring them home. Do the impossible now. He's saying these are just ways that we can pray. Pray for your workplace. Go in 10 minutes early. Pray, Holy Spirit, I know you love these people. Would you just meet my friends? Open their hearts. With your guys' kingdom prayers, you can change atmospheres. Hey, nod if you're with me. Come on, church. You can change atmospheres. When you walk into church, you can change the atmosphere. When you walk into your home, you can change the atmosphere. I've said this many times. I'm going to say it again. We contend for the presence of God in our home. In our home. We've had people that have been demonized. Listen to this. Listen to that. You've heard this story before. This is not a new story. But if you're new here, that's a new story to you. We've had people that have been demonized, tormented by demonic spirits that call us on the phone. Kirk, Marnie, are you home? I desperately need something. We're like, yeah, come on over. And they walk across the threshold of our home and the demons leave. Oh, you're a pastor and you got a holy home. I'm a you. I have an office, but that doesn't change that all authority has been given to you, Jesus said. You have that authority, but you've got to step into that. You've got to lean into that. We've got Christian music playing. If you don't have Christian music playing in your home often, you're missing out on some really good stuff. That's not a legalistic thing. That's just a, why would you not? That's a, let the presence of the Lord just saturate your home, right? So you can change atmospheres. You can go into your work, and John Tyson is saying, and I agree with him because I've seen it happen. Go in there and just, don't be mean, be expectant. Just pray for God to show up in this place. Give people an awesome day, all right? John Tyson says, God, show us where you're moving. Very, very small things done consistently over time produce tremendous results. Stop. I want to highlight that. Very small things done consistently over time produce tremendous results. Some of you guys are thinking, I don't know that I could be a revival prayer, but you can bump it up. Say bump it up. You can bump it up. You can. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you can. You can. You got this. You can bump it up. Go from 1 minute to 2 minutes. You can do that. You can do it. You can do it. And I'm not just being silly. You can do it. You can do this. I want to see action out of this church. I want to hear stories from this next week that, you know what, Pastor, I was just kind of laughing at you, but then you said, it just got, I'm going to bump it up. I bumped up my prayers. I prayed. Normally I just pray and then I listen to a song. I didn't even listen to my song. I prayed, you know, like whatever your story is, bump it up. We're going to bump it up. We're going to bump it up. And I love what he said. Little tiny things that if you do it consistently over a long period of time, you're going to see incredible things. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. John said 15. He said, pray for 15. And then he said 10. He said, go to your workplace 10 minutes early. I'm saying 5. 5 minutes. What takes you 5 minutes to do? Brush your teeth. 5 minutes. Make a sandwich. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. We've had a lot of 5 minutes here already this morning. We've had a whole pile of them. 5 minutes. What if you prayed an extra 5 minutes a day? 5 minutes. What if you prayed for 5 more minutes each day? All right, we're landing this plane. What if you prayed for 5 more minutes? If you prayed for 5 more minutes, what if in this next year from today, a year from today, what if you prayed 5 extra minutes a day and you're not just praying, oh, bless Johnny, but you're praying, God, let your kingdom come on earth as it in heaven. You're praying, God, move in my school. God, move in my home. Bring your peace into our household. Bring my wayward children back to you. Let them love Jesus with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, save my boss. Lord, bring blessing on my business. God, move like you've never, like if you prayed 5 minutes every day like that, you'd have 30 hours of prayer in a year. What would happen if the 100 of us that are in here this morning or whatever there is, what if we all prayed 30 hours straight? We didn't eat, we didn't sleep, but we all came into agreement on something. Something would happen. Do you know what I'm saying? Something would happen. What if instead of 30 hours straight, what if we all busted it up into, say, I don't know, 5 minutes a day? A year from now, you'd have 30 hours of consistent prayer for one thing, whatever it is you're praying for. How phenomenal is that? Small things, little tiny things done consistently. What if we did what John Tyson said and prayed for 15 minutes? 15 more minutes a day, that's 91 hours in a year. That's almost 4 days of 24-hour prayer in 1 year. If you prayed 15 minutes a day, that's almost 4 days. It's 3.72 or something like that. It's almost 4 days of a solid 24-hour prayer. How many believe that a situation in your life would change if you prayed 4 days in a row, 24 hours a day? Holy macaroni. That would change something. If you prayed 15 minutes a day for a year, that's almost 4 days. It's 91 hours of prayer. Last slide. John, this is just the rest of that slide. He said, God, show us where you're moving. Very, very small things done consistently over time produce tremendous results. So yeah, adjust your sails on the category, the intensity, and the nature of the kind of prayers you're praying. I think if millions and millions of Christians did that, however God responds to prayer in his sovereignty and the mystery, he said, I think that would not go unanswered. Like, if millions of us Christians bumped it up over this next year, we just bump it up. Say, bump it up. Bump it up. Bump it up. We're just going to add. Come on, church. I'm trying to think of that verse. I can't, but it's a word like that. Like I'm not begging, but I'm pleading. Pleading with you, like this is my pleading this morning. Bump it up. Come on, church. Come on. Not asking for much. Like if you pray 30 seconds, pray a minute and 30 seconds. Like bump it up. Bump it up somehow. How many think you could bump it up somehow? I'm not asking for 24 hours of prayer. I mean, can you bump it up a little bit? Can you pray a little more than you have been? Can you do something that we're going to ask God to move in this church and in our school and in our workplaces and in our city and in our hometowns and in our families? God, move. God, move. Not just God bless us. Pray those too. But God, move. God, have your way. Bring people to Christ. Set people free. We want to see the move of God in our land in this day. Amen? Amen. I believe that you believe that. God, we want to bump it up. We just pray today, God, for your presence, for your power. We thank you, Jesus, that you hear our prayers and that you will answer, God. And we just ask over this next year that we would bump it up, that our prayers would be meaningful because they're powerful and effective. And we just ask for your blessing on today. Ask for your blessing on the food today. Pray that as we give and donate and share together that God, things are happening financially for the Philippines, and God, things are happening in relationships as we gather around a table together and eat, break bread together, as we minister one to another. Pray that your spirit would be right in the middle of our meeting today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen.